Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we've got the best listeners of radio joining us. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We're going to kick things off with our good friend, Brittany, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing good over here. How are you doing over in Abbotsford, Melissa?
Yeah, the sun is shining bright.
Nice, nice. Beautiful out there. We got a nice blue sky here in Rapids. How's it over by you, Brittany?
Oh, exactly the same here in Wausau. I just can't wait to get outside and soak up the sunshine and some mid to upper 60s today.
Oh, awesome. Nice. Let's just stop right there. Let's just stop right there. We'll just hang out the rest of the time. We'll just
I agree with you because you don't want to hear the rest.
Oh, no.
Ah, bring it on. Just rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid off.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We do have a chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, and some of them could be severe. So this time frame, I'm thinking 2 to 4 is when you want to keep an eye out for these guys. So they're going to fire up like the heat of summer. You know how that goes? Remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years back. Time,
yeah, it's been a while.
Right. This time it's going to be because of a cold front that's moving through. So we'll see the storms first. Biggest risk is probably some large hail, otherwise some gusty winds at times and some heavy downpours. That's it. We're not looking at any tornado risk, so just hail and wind. As those push out of here, though, those winds are going to quickly switch to out of the northwest, and they're going to stay gusty, and they're going to pull in much cooler temperatures. So tonight we'll probably see frost and freeze warnings go out as we drop back to the mid-20s. Get all those plants covered up or inside, and then tomorrow expect a cooler day, but it's going to be sunny, so not too bad out there.
Yeah, we'll take it.
All right.
Hey, you know what? We'll keep that one. We'll keep that one. That's all right. That's
we'll
all
keep right. it. Okay.
Brittany, we appreciate you so much. Thanks so much for the update. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Have a good day.
You too.
Thanks. You too, Brittany.
Best there is. Brittany Merlot joining us every morning right in this time slot to talk with you about Mother Nature. Appreciate the time from her, as always. Melissa and I got a good show lined up for you, everybody. We're going to talk about how many of us think about our next vacation while we're on a vacation.
For those of us that can go on vacation.
Right, yeah. Americans want to know how to recycle certain things. We're going to get into some of that. That is coming up for you. Looking forward to it. Also, I got a real big one I want to jump into right after our news break. I want to get into how many of us would live in a van down by the river. We've got to get into that one. We've got some music or some sounders to go with that, of course. We have to have. We'll get into all that. And, of course, in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off with a little bit of entertainment news. Got some information about The Rock and Oprah and that Maui relief that they donated to. Want to get into that. There is a opportunity for Star Wars fans out there to earn a couple bucks.
Oh.
We'll get into that. And we got some local theater to talk about. We've got our Hopo Productions. Lincoln High School has a production going on, WRCT. So I want to spend some time with you, Melissa, talking about some of that.
Theater.
And, of course, we have plenty of good stories of the day, then I write stories, all that stuff coming up for you. But we do, we are very fortunate. We are locally grown radio. That's when I came up with that line, I told it to Marcus, and he's like, that's it. That's the one. We went with that. And we're able to still be that. But we are very fortunate that even long before the last two owners we had, we've been streaming online. And many of our listeners have heard over the years, our friends out in Europe reach out to us. And that's always nice. Good morning or good afternoon or good evening to our friends over in Sweden and Finland and all that. And, of course, in the States here, we've got some listeners down in the Florida area, out in California, have a handful around the country that listen in. And we appreciate that so much. Some of them are locals that have moved. And some of them are just, you know, people that are just friends of the show and like what we do here. We appreciate all that. But I don't know if this is a chance for us to hit a new market, Melissa. But I would like to reach out to the people of Philadelphia.
Okay.
Philly, we see you. We appreciate you. Nice bell you got over there. That's a sweet bell. We
like cheesesteaks.
We love cheesesteaks. Go Rocky. Big fan of Rocky in our household. Oh, big fans of Rocky over here. We also wanted to note this story about them. If you're originally from Philadelphia, either way, at least not according to Facebook and Instagram the past few days. If you are from Philly, you can't be, or you haven't been, according to Facebook and Instagram. A weird glitch removed Philadelphia as an option last week. People noticed that it wasn't their, quote, hometown anymore, and they couldn't add it back either.
It's just gone.
It's a bunch of Steelers fans or something. I don't know. If you tried to add Philadelphia as your hometown or current city, your only options were things like Philadelphia, Mississippi. The only choice in Pennsylvania was Philadelphia, Mississippi. That's the only one you can choose. The only choice.
That's a long way away.
Seems like it, yeah. The only choice in Pennsylvania was the small town of New Philadelphia, about 90 miles outside of the city. It affected businesses, too, of course. Their address on Instagram didn't have the city anymore and just listed the street number. Philly folks immediately started blasting Mark Zuckerberg as a hater.
Naturally.
Yeah, Melissa, I don't know how much you know about this, and God bless you for not knowing, but Philadelphia sports fans tend to be traditionally the roughest.
A little violent? Yes, yeah. I have heard that.
Okay, yeah. They climbing
light poles and things like that.
Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, during one of the games near Christmas in December, Santa Claus, they had a Santa show up, and they threw batteries at him. This is Philly. This is Philly.
Not cool.
No, not cool at all. No.
You're getting coal forever, dudes.
Yeah. So Philly fans, Philly people in general, they have a bit of a chip on their shoulder. I've known a lot of people from that area, so I'm not just throwing this stuff out there. and they tend to, they
hold back on their opinions.
Yes. So Mark Zuckerberg was definitely hearing it, for sure. And others joked that the city was being renamed or repossessed by the federal government.
Repossessed.
I like that. You could see them doing it. They got that nice bell over there. The bell.
We kept our receipts. Why can't we just return it?
The good news is it looks like the issue has been resolved. So if you're a proud Philadelphian, breathe a sigh of relief and you can stop hating on Facebook and all that. You can still hate Martin Zuckerberg if you want. You can do
But do stop the hate on Facebook, because that's getting old.
It's getting very old. Getting very old. I'm going to take a second here and pull an audible because I want to thank the best listeners in the radio. The last couple of weeks, I've gotten some really encouraging and positive feedback from all of you about the things that we're doing here at WFHR. I really do appreciate that. Nice. There's been a lot of compliments to you and Seth, Melissa.
Cool.
A lot of the things. And one of the overall things that I've heard from people, whether they agree with us or not, is the dialogue that we are carrying always comes with the tone that we are using right now. Now, sometimes I get a little aggravated. I get a little excited, I admit.
It's only when you climb on your soapbox.
It's only then. but we really have always tried to and will always try to be a non-divisive area. We are just all about that. That's what we've always been about. What is really unique and cool, I think, is having civic media run by our station and being a part of something that they are doing and that they have done and that they are, and being a home for non-divisiveness, a home for democracy, a home for truth.
And for local radio.
Yeah, yeah. And we're very fortunate for that. Yesterday on Playmakers, I made a comment and got some great feedback on that one. I really do appreciate it from you people. I was just talking about something I think is pretty. We were talking about the NIL licensing with high school students and the dangers of that and the concerns of it. And one of the all I said was is that I think that it is the responsibility of every adult to look out for kids.
Children.
Yes.
Kind of why we're here.
It's the main gig. That's the job.
I mean, they're the future.
It seems pretty self-explanatory. Whether you have kids or not, whether you like kids or not, if a kid comes running up to you and says that they can't find their
parent, I need
help. Yeah. You're not going to be like, good luck, little guy.
Hey, world's a tough place.
Yeah, go left. You're going to help. You're going to help. And that's what this is all about. So we appreciate you. Thanks for the feedback. You can always reach out to us, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Go ahead and hit up any of our staff that way. And we appreciate hearing from you, especially your birthdays and anniversaries. We love getting those. Those are great. Keep them coming, everybody. We'll get to our birthday and anniversary club in just a moment right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. It's time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, one of our favorite parts of the day. We get to celebrate all of you and talk about our great friends, El Cafe. Wonderful restaurant indeed. Over in beautiful Port Edwards. They're open 7 to 2. Go ahead and check them out at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us. And we encourage you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. We want to celebrate with you. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can hit up any of our crew that way. melissa.k@civicmedia.us, just like that.
My name is much easier to spell than Hab Hager, because I'm better than Seth. That's just what it boils down to. Although K is with an E.
It's very to keep that in mind, everybody. direct message us on our Facebook pages as well. Go ahead and hit us up. Just type in your search bar, WFHR or WIRI. We'll get either one of those. And, of course, you can call up.
Yeah, you can call up right now, 715-424-2600, and wish your special someone a happy birthday or a happy anniversary live on air.
We love when you guys do that. When you get them to us early, that's fantastic, but we all know you forget sometimes.
Or you were just waiting for this very special moment, James. Nobody forgets these special things.
You're absolutely right. You wanted to make it even more special by doing it in person and on the air and all that and everything. That makes sense. Nicely done, Melissa. Nice. we encourage you to get those to us, everybody. Thanks so much to our friends at El Cafe sponsoring this segment here. We got two names on our list, so I need a one or a two from you, Melissa.
Oh, let's go with two today.
All right. Gives us that qualifier. And we can go ahead and first up wish a very happy birthday to Pam's nephew, Sarah Lueck. I'm sorry, wife of Pam's nephew.
Okay. I was a little confused there. I mean, names are interesting, but happy birthday, Sarah.
I don't know how many times this has happened to me on the air. I have to admit, full exposure here. The microphone was covering up part of the a very key part of that sentence. The wife of Pam's nephew, Sarah, lives in Oregon, and we wish Sarah Lewick a very, very happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Strange, but a happy birthday nonetheless. Enjoy your day, Sarah. Hope it's a good one for you. We also want to wish a happy birthday to Peyton Johnson.
Happy birthday, Peyton.
Enjoy your day, Peyton. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to our qualifier today, Angie Calloway.
Oh, congratulations, Angie, and happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Angie. Hope it's a good one for you. We wish you the best of days. Let's go ahead and take a look at that celebrity list real quick. Chloe Kim is 24, Olympic gold medal snowboarder.
Ooh.
Yeah. She's good. She's very good. And I over the weekend saw some of the my crew, my guys, and we got together and we're mainly talking baseball, and got to talk a little bit of football. And I was so excited because my friend Craig wanted to talk Summer Olympics, and we talked that even though nobody else wanted to talk about it. I'm excited about the Summer Games. Chloe is an Olympic winter Olympic athlete, but I can't help it. I'm just excited.
Youngest woman to win an Olympic snowboarding gold medal at 17 years old.
I thought she was young. I didn't realize that. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That is impressive.
When she won. I mean, she's 24 now. Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. USA. USA. Get it ready, everybody. Get ready. We can go ahead and start practicing now. Got to start practicing now.
Practice your chant.
Dev Patel is 34 today. A fantastic actor. Chappie, Slumdog Millionaire. He's in the most recent Monkey Man. Becoming a bit of an action star now, which is really interesting because he is a heck of a thespian. He is a heck of an actor. And I noticed this back in the day. I heard a great interview with Denzel Washington the other day where he was joking about the movie Virtuosity. And that was kind of one of his first, if not his first real action role. He was in his late 40s, I believe early 50s, when that happened. Denzel has gone on to do like a bunch of action movies, including like 3 Equalizers. But it's really something to be able to see this change that has kind of happened. Back in the day, they told Clint Eastwood the last day of on the set of Dirty Harry, "Thanks, Clint. We're done with you. We don't need you anymore. You're too old to be an action star anymore. You're too old to be Dirty Harry." He went behind the camera and became an Academy Award winning director. That not every actor has that. So where a lot of actors start in action and kind of like hope to go into drama or comedy or anything like that, a lot of them go into comedy. Nowadays, if you're a thespian, you can only make so much of your career just doing dramas. So where do you go? You go into action. You go and play a superhero. You're Benedict Cumberbatch and you're playing Doctor Strange. Not only are you getting that Disney money, and that Disney money is nice, you're building on your career. You're adding to your resume, not only your resume, your arsenal, your toolkit of what you can do. And now, like a guy like Dev Patel, who is considered an action star now because of the Monkey Man movie and the success of that, now when he's going for auditions, it's not just drama roles. It's action roles. It's these roles. It's other things. Mm-hmm. It's a way to keep your career even more alive instead of having to wait until your 60s to be an action star. We need to make more action stars. All of our action stars are 50 and above now. They're all up there. So we're going to have to make some more. Jamie King is 45. Goldie and Wendy in the Sin City movies. She was also on Netflix's Black Summer. She's a good actor. Joanna Krupa is 45. She finished 4th on season 9 of Dancing with the Stars, and she was on a couple of other things too. It looks like Cal Penn is 47.
I don't know who that is?
Yeah,
Cal,
I'm not sure. Penn. I have to be honest. I wasn't sure who she was either.
We don't have Beth with us to tell.
Yeah. Cal Penn is 47. A good actor. Mm. He was on Designated Survivor. He was on House. He was Kumar in Harold and Kumar movies. But the thing I bet he's most proud of is being White House Press Secretary Seth Wright on Designated Survivor. He was really good at that. He was really good. Mm-hmm. The great, the wonderful John Oliver is 47 today.
Wow.
One of the things I appreciate about John Oliver is whether you do or don't like his politics, whether you do or don't like his comedy, he is putting information out there for you, like everybody. It isn't just a set notion or a set side of the party or the aisle or anything like that. John Oliver takes on all comers. The thing that gets lost about a guy like Jon Stewart or John Oliver to people that don't listen to them is that they hold everybody accountable.
Yes, they don't hold back. And it's not a I'm this side or that side. It's here are the facts.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. And he tells it with intelligence and so anybody can understand it.
Yeah, yeah. Him and his team do such an amazing job week in and week out taking one subject and diving into it and giving you every nook and cranny of it.
Mm-hmm. And there's sometimes some of the like food delivery apps, I can't bring myself to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to be disgusted.
Yep.
You just, and not like disgusted because it's food, just disgusted with the racket that it is.
Yeah. What he's doing is it isn't new anymore. It's been being done like this for a while now. But to me, and I'm not talking about local journalists here, but when it comes to nationwide journalists on your major networks and all that, I'll take Jon Stewart and John Oliver's news over anybody else's. They can't be your only news source.
No,
they can't be that. But
no, because if any of us are focusing on one source for our news, we're doing it wrong.
Agreed. Well said. Yes. But they are. To me, I didn't expect this from comedians, but comedians have become our the last line of defense when it comes to what journalism used to be.
Mm-hmm.
What we used to have there.
Doing investigative journalism.
Yeah, real reporting. Like, this is actually great work. There are actually great reporters out there that I respect that talk about these guys and very highly the work that they're doing. A big happy 47th to John Oliver. Happy 47th to John Cena. Another action star. Now, there's an action star that's under 50. He's only 47. He's WWE superstar, big-time action star John Cena, and a versatile actor. I don't know if he could do drama or anything, but I've seen him do a range of things. He does a good job with.
I think the Suicide Squad. He was in that.
Yeah, he did a good job in that. He was good in that.
Freelance. Okay.
George Lopez is 63. Legendary comedian. Yeah, legendary comedian. George Lopez, one of those early comedians back in the day of really like doing a lot of, I don't want to say edgy comedy, just taking comedy in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Very funny guy. Valerie Bertinelli is 64. Wolfie's mom and Eddie Van Halen's ex-wife, Wolfie being Eddie and her son, who was out there touring with Van Halen and that. She played Melania on Hot in Cleveland, Gloria on Touched by an Angel. And, of course, the great legend, she's mostly known, I believe, as Barbara Cooper on the original One Day at a Time.
Hmm. I know I recognize her, but I haven't seen her in that much. Oh, Valerie's Home Cooking.
Yes, that's the other thing she does. And she is not only beautiful inside and out, just a really seems like a really interesting human being and a really like beautiful person. The way she has handled Eddie Van Halen's passing, the way she has handled things with her son and his stardom and some of that. I can't imagine what it's like, but I think she's done an amazing job. Amazing person, seems like.
And the show Touched by an Angel. Is such a... like childhood it's kind of a nostalgia thing, I guess.
Yeah, my Nana loved that show. Della Reese, I believe it was, that was on that. And my Nana loved her. Yeah,
Della Reese, Roma Downey.
That was the other one. I knew there was another actress I was trying to think of. Michael Moore is 70. Fantastic documentarian, Fahrenheit 9/11, Bowling for Columbine. There's been a lot of great work that Michael Moore has done. Again, very similar to the others that we were talking about here. Michael Moore, whether you agree with his politics or not, like him or not, his work is for everybody. Him bringing truth to subjects that not everybody will and not everybody is able to. He also kind of helped bring back how important
documentaries.
Yes, thank you, Melissa. I just was about to go on a tangent about how important documents are. Yes, I'm going to go on this stand. Let me get on my soapbox and talk about how important documents are. But we got to stop getting rid of documents. Documentaries. They're important movies. Yep. Documentaries are important movies, and
they are. I didn't realize he was this old. He was 70.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that either.
Mm-mm.
I also wouldn't have guessed that would be the word I'd have trouble with this morning.
It's all right.
Man?
We'll give you a pass on that one.
I guess. Yeah,
we'll take it out in post.
We'll fix it in editing. It's all right. Well, Lee Majors is 85 today. The $6 million man, Steve Austin. Mark Wahlberg is actually going to star in a movie remake called The $6 Million Man. That one. Alan Oppenheimer is 94, the voice of Skeletor on the original He-Man. He briefly played Ruby Wells in The $6 Million Man before being replaced by the guy who continued the role, of course, Lee Majors. So that's interesting. They share a birthday
birthday. That's funny.
It's wild. Some big names no longer with us, everybody, like the great, the legend, Shirley Temple Black. Born in the state in 1928, passed away in 2014. After her showbiz career, she got very active in politics. From the early 70s through the early 90s, Shirley held various positions in several presidential administrations. She was a representative to the United Nations and an ambassador to both Ghana and Czechoslovakia. And of course, obviously known as the first child star.
Mm-hmm.
And not the first like child actor.
Not the, but definitely the first really huge
and one of the
known child stars.
I actually should say not just child stars, stars, like one of the first big names. For better or worse, Shirley is also one of the gigantic reasons that we have child labor laws in entertainment, why you can't have a kid who's 10 years old working for 20 hours and being given God knows what to keep them that size or that age or what have you. I mean, some of the things, look at The Wizard of Oz. You talk about things that are hard to watch because of the behind-the-scenes stuff and everything. There's a lot of horrible stories of the way way we treated not only children, but women back in the day. And not that things have improved 100%, but they have improved quite a bit. And in part, in a major part, because of people like Shirley Temple.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to be her so bad when I was a kid. She's why I got into tap dancing.
Oh, very cool. Should be noted as well, great actor. Great actor. Never gets brought up with her, but great actress. At that age, to be as good as she was, yeah. Also, another great actor, Sandra Dee, born on this day in 1942, passed away in 2005, the original Gidget. And these days, a lot of kids remember her, that Rizzo sang her name in Grease. So there's that, too. The great Roy Orbison, born on this day in 1936, passed away in 1988.
Wow.
If a ghost could sing, I believe it would sound like Roy Orbison. And I mean that with every compliment I can think of. One of the most original voices I've ever heard. Roy Orbison was amazing. Great artist. And old Billy Shakes, born on this day. William Shakespeare, born on this day in 1564. Passed away in 1616. That's just what we used to call him, Billy Shakes.
Oh, really?
There's a nickname for him. Yeah. It's really interesting to me, as we learn more and more of our history and more is uncovered about our artists like Shakespeare. It is thought pretty commonly now that most of Shakespeare's works were not just done by one person, that they were multiple people. In fact, most people believe that there were women that were involved in the writing of most of his plays. And I see some people that, like, this takes away the shine of William Shakespeare for them and those things. At this point in the game, when we're talking about a person like this, and this is not to take anything away from William Shakespeare, the human being, but Shakespeare itself has become a genre. It's become a type of a style and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very specific style.
And to me, that doesn't take anything away from the legacy or anything like that. To me, when we find out the truth of these things or our heroes or any of that stuff, it doesn't have to take away from the shine of them. All it has to do is add to their story. To the truth of them and everything, whether it was one guy writing, Taming of the Shrew or Romeo and Juliet, or if it was a group of people, what does it really matter? We have the work. We enjoy the work. Let's just enjoy the work. And as we learn more and more about these things, whatever direction they take us, take them with a grain of salt. Take them with history.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun to learn more history. History is fascinating. According to this BBC website, William Shakespeare couldn't spell.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that something?
He survived a pandemic, and rude insults were his specialty.
Yes. And dealt with a lot of haters in his life, William Shakespeare. People did not necessarily, as popular as his work was, as unpopular as it was. And that's just it. And history is not meant to be judged. It's probably one of the easiest things for us to do is judge history. History is meant to be learned from.
Can't change history.
You can judge it. Yeah, you can judge it all you want. It ain't going to change a damn thing.
What good is it going to do?
Yeah, it ain't going to do anything. You're better off learning from it and growing from it. And one more time, we want to wish happy birthdays to the wife of Pam's nephew, Sarah.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Happy birthday, Sarah. Happy birthday to Peyton.
Happy birthday, Peyton.
And happy birthday to our qualifier, Angie Calloway.
Ah, congratulations, Angie. Enjoy your special day.
We hope you all enjoy your day out there. Stick around. We got good stuff coming up. We're going to come back and talk about how many of us think that we could live in a van down by the river. That's coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Good things coming up for you in this hour. We got to get into a little bit later, Melissa. I want to get into what Americans want to know how to recycle certain items. We got to get into that.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Got that coming up for you. And five things in your house you can sell for parts. All of that coming up. But before we get into this next topic, I would be remiss not just in this state, but I think anywhere, if I did not play a certain sounder to go along with what we're about to do here, Melissa. So if you could just give me a second here, I want to play this right now for the audience.
Now, as your father told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Before I begin, I ought to tell you a little about myself so you'll know where I'm coming from. First off, I am 35 years old. I am thrice divorced, and I live in a van down by the river.
The great Chris Farley, of course, playing us into this segment. And Chris Farley's Matt Foley character might have been the inspiration for this thought here. A full third of Americans say that they wouldn't actually mind living in a van down by the river. 30,000 people were asked, what would you ever consider van life? They defined it as a lifestyle that involves living and traveling in a converted van. Mm-hmm. Something that has become much and much more popularized in the last 10 to 15 years, probably.
Because house prices are so high and there's no houses.
Mm-hmm. 36% of Americans said yes, including 13% who actively want to do that and are working towards that.
Working towards it.
52% said no, 9% said aren't sure, and almost half of people under 30 like the idea. The same poll also found 44% of us wouldn't mind living in a tiny house with less than 500 square feet of space. This is interesting. I've talked when I was living out in California, this was a big thing. And a lot of people were evolving towards this is what they said. They were going towards this. I knew a couple of people that were in the entertainment industry that were downsizing. They were selling things. In fact, one person was having a garage sale to get rid of as much stuff as they could because they wanted to downsize to these tiny house thing. I know that currently talking to a lot of my friends out there in California, the homeless situation out there is insane. And we're not talking what a lot of us grew up with the traditional quote unquote what a homeless person looks like or is or what have you. We're talking about people with 9-to-5 jobs. We're people that...
Or two jobs.
Yes. Families that are in these situations. And many of them are moving, yes, into a van, are buying vans. Mm-hmm. And they're souping them up. They're making them as nice as they can and living that way. This says a lot about our economy, a lot about minimum wage, a lot about housing, all of these things. All that being said... Okay, putting the seriousness aside for a second, if you had the opportunity to live this way, not because you have to financially, but just you like a simpler life or you like the idea of being able to travel and kind of take your home with you sort of thing, that sounds pretty enticing to me.
Yeah, no, it's almost a retirement dream though, because would you be able to hold down a job?
Yeah,
maybe if you worked remotely,
right? Yeah,
but a constant internet access, maybe?
Yeah,
could be problematic. But yes, all of those serious considerations aside, it would be awesome.
It does seem kind of like we certainly RVs are huge. They're very popular, and they've been especially in this area. Living out here, I was always surprised by how many RV dealerships there were until I started meeting people and realizing how popular they are. That's been a thing for a long time, and oftentimes, like you said, a retirement thing. It's interesting to see so many people looking to do that, not so much in retirement, but at a young age. And there's a lot more minimalism out there nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Well, people want to actually enjoy living their lives, not just live for retirement.
Plus, one of the things that has been brought to me, to my attention from a lot of like 18 and around that age, a lot of people don't need as much stuff. They just don't. They don't care. They don't need as much many things. So they'd rather have a simpler life, a lot less stuff.
I think, thankfully, for the Earth, we're moving away from so much materialism. You know, I have to keep up with the Joneses. I got to have all these things, and I think we're slowly starting to move away from that as younger generations are like, especially as we're dealing with the amount of stuff in our parents' houses. Like, what am I going to do with all this stuff?
Yeah.
This is just a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. I mean, just lots of stuff.
And do you need it?
That's the thing. But when it comes to a lot of this stuff, it's figuring out, well, what do I need and what do I don't need? And what can I live without, what I can't, and those things.
Yeah. And then what can I do with the excess so that it's not just going into a landfill?
Yeah, yeah. We're fortunate that so many are thinking of these things. We really are, because not enough of us were early enough on, and we're making up for lost time here and everything. But it's not surprising to see how many people. It's encouraging to see how many people are interested in living this lifestyle, not out of necessity so much as it seems
choice.
Choice. Again, the serious part of this can't be taken lightly. We've got some major issues in this country when it comes to all those factors. I'll throw child care in there as well as a factor in this. A lot of work to be done, which is why during a political year like this, it is important to know who is in your politicians' pockets, who you are voting for, how they feel about these subjects, and where they would lean on these subjects. We will get a time out in. We'll check in with our partners and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about Americans wanting to recycle these items, how to recycle these items. We're going to get into that.
What to do with some of these things you have in your basement.
Yeah.
From your parents.
Melissa, James, and Matt Foley will be back with more on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I did not see what I clicked for the bumpers. I did not. Haven't heard this one in a long time. It's been a long time. Melissa and James here with you hanging out. We hope you're having a good one. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. We'll have a lot of good stuff for you in that 9 o'clock hour. Going to get in some entertainment news, some local entertainment news, some good stories of the day, then I write stories. Plenty more coming up for you. Also get into, in the 9 o'clock hour, 5 things in your house you can sell for parts. We got that coming up and plenty more. But right now, Earth Day is over, and some people celebrate it by figuring out how to recycle some of those things that you just don't know how to recycle or how to get rid of. There are people who are just have a pile of laptops and flat screen TVs in their basement.
Or old phones.
Google Trends released some search data on what people in various states are looking to recycle more than in other states. So here's the thing that each state is fixed on. 11 states are focused on typical stuff like bottles and cans. Another 13 states are Googling how to dispose of tech like TVs, phones, and computers.
Electronics.
And 5 states want to be reminded of the process for batteries, AA, and car batteries. 4 states are asking about pizza boxes. 2 states are looking to get rid of tires. 2 more excess clothes. And a couple more are looking to dispose of old mattresses. All pretty understandable. And then there's the what I like to call the morning show stuff or the weird stuff.
Our specialty.
Yes. People in Ohio and Vermont want to know how to recycle wrapping paper. People in Nevada and Georgia need to deal with Christmas trees. In April. In April, they're asking about this. For Colorado, it's paint. For Tennessee, it's plastic bags. In Texas, it's plastic hangers. Who's throwing it? Well, I guess if they break. Yeah, if they break. Otherwise, that's one of those items that I don't know if I've ever seen anybody really buy hangers. Like, it just feels like they're always the handed down, or somebody has a billion of them and gives you some. Like, for South Dakota, it's egg cartons. Wyoming.
Well, if they have the styrofoam ones, that makes sense.
Yeah. Wyoming, it's fast food cups. Florida, it's red Solo cups. Now, that's not shocking at all. That really seems very on the nose. For Louisiana, it's also on brand Mardi Gras beads. It's a fair question, actually, for them. Yeah.
Are they recyclable?
And for Indiana, it's Eclipse sunglasses. Indianapolis, of course, was pretty much dead center for the totality and everything. So
they had a ton of them.
Yeah. And that's a fair question. Like, all these are fair questions. Just some of that stuff I wouldn't have thought of. But I'm glad somebody did. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, what we have so much stuff already, like we were just talking in the last segment. Why don't we try to reuse it, you know, instead of just even better than recycling, reusing it. I know there was a place I ran across in Texas that was taking donations of Eclipse sunglasses, and then they're mailing them to somewhere in, I think, Africa, or South America, wherever the next eclipse is happening, so that they can hand them out to school kids.
How cool is that?
To reuse them. Yeah.
That's just awesome. That's so darn cool. That is really cool. I hadn't heard that. That's really, really cool. That's great to hear. And a really smart move. Really smart. Maybe this is smart, too. A future Kitchens Open segment. Who knows? Have you ever noticed that dusty stuff on packaged shredded cheese? It's always there. Sometimes. I shouldn't say it's always there, but it seems to be there a lot. Well, whether you see it or not, it's an anti-caking agent. It keeps the shreds from sticking and lumping together. Different companies use different methods. Kraft uses cornstarch. Tillamook uses potato starch. Sargento uses powdered cellulose, which is a refined wood pulp. Other anti-caking agents.
Another reason to not use that company, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Other agents include calcium sulfate, which is a compound component in cement. now that sounds questionable. Like they're all food safe, but they're all food safe in small amounts. Still, not everyone is excited about ingesting these substances raw. So there's a social media trend of people washing their shredded cheese before use. Most people are dumping the cheese into a colander, rinsing it with water, and then drying it on a paper towel. The water that strains out is a cloudy and sometimes discolored, which adds theatrics to the video, of course.
Of course.
And yeah, it is ridiculous all around, but you know, if it makes people feel better, I suppose. I'm not doing it, but to each their own. Rinsing cheese is messy, and you have to measure it out first because you shouldn't return the quote unquote clean cheese to the fridge. Even if it's dried, it can develop mold faster because you may have washed off the mold inhibitors that are also a part of it. You won't drop dead from the stuff that's included in shredded cheese, but it seems unappetizing. If it seems unappetizing, there are other options. Buying a block and shredding your own.
Shredding it yourself?
It's less
mind-blowing.
Yeah. Or otherwise, what I grew up doing.
Just gnawing off the block.
I don't have exactly pipe arms. You know, like I got pipe cleaners for arms. I don't have exactly like big, but I have decent forearms. And I'm pretty sure one of the major reasons is shredding cheese growing up for my nana and my mom.
Yeah, shredding cheese can be a bit of a chore, I'm sure, for people who eat cheese. I've shredded a fair amount of it in my life just because, you know, as a kid I ate cheese and we shredded a lot of cheese for lasagna mainly. But I usually try to go for the block cheese if I can versus the shredded just because, yeah, there's a lot of added things to it that aren't needed.
Can I give a controversial take?
Sure.
I think it's the block cheese is better. Like, it tastes better to me.
Oh, tastes better. Well, yeah. You don't have all that added stuff to it.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know if it was a controversial take or not, but I don't think so. That I'm saying it, no, I guess not. I think it even tastes better, so it's worth it. Like most things in life, it's worth taking the time for it.
Doing a little bit of extra work. The problem is, James, is that we have so many things that demand our time. And that you know, you have to feel like you got to, all right, well, if I take the extra 5 minutes to shred this cheese, which, you know, is that going to make up for maybe it's cheaper to buy it already shredded. I don't know. I haven't compared prices. But, you know, like, if I take extra 5 minutes to do this, I don't have that 5 minutes to spend with my kids. Or to work a little bit more so I have enough money to pay my bills this month. I mean, it's all a trade-off of time that we have a limited amount of every day.
Yeah. If convenience and saving a little bit of time, if that's, you know, if that helps, I would think that even the taste isn't going to compare to the peace of mind. So teach their own. You know, you do what you got to do. And certainly being safe about it is the key to this, of course.
Maybe just don't eat shredded cheese out of a bag every single day and you'll probably be fine.
Seems like a good plan. Seems like a good idea. There is a part of me. I see, I have no interest in doing this, but there is a part of me just scientifically or experiment wise or just to see how it turns out, like what it might be like to try to wash this shredded cheese. Just seems like especially everything we talked about as far as what you would need to do that, wouldn't it just take as much time to just shred your own? Like it feels, it feels like, you know,
you gotta wash it.
Yeah.
But just picture the fun skit we could make with, you know, when you bring your groceries home from the store and you're washing your produce and, you know, you got to get in there with the grapes and make sure you get around everything and lettuce, man, that's a real chore because you got to pull all the leaves off and wash each one individually. And then comes the cheese. Make sure your colander holes are small enough that the cheese doesn't slip through when you spray it with the water on high power.
Got to watch out.
You got to get off all that sawdust.
You got to watch out for that. You got to watch out for that. stay tuned because Melissa and I will continue this segment with paper towels. We're going to clean off your paper towels for you. We'll wash those.
We're going to wash those?
We're going to... We got a couple of them. We got a couple of them. This is going to be a running series where we'll do... I love the skit idea. I love...
What you need to wash when you come home from the store, besides your hands.
I don't know why, but I also... I thought of the skit being even funnier. You know when you have the person standing behind the person and they put their arms forward and they're moving... You know, like doing that. Like, I think that'd be fun too. We'll work on that during the break.
Okay.
Melissa and I will be back with more fun next hour right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.